got a choice. Worldly living, kingdom living. The twain never meets. It never crosses. Jesus came into the world bringing the kingdom of God and talking about a new way to live. Under the rule and reign of God himself. The kingdom of God. It is not the same old, same old. It is not the same way. It never was intended to be. And so when we think about this, okay, the kingdom has come. I'm to live my life and do it all in the name of Jesus. Where do I spend most of my day? At work. That's where we spend most of our day. And for those of you that are students, you may say, well, I don't go to work. Oh, yes, you do. You are in school. You actually have homework and school work, right? But that's the place. So question is, everything I do at work, do I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, here's the thing. If you're not a Christian, that doesn't apply. You don't have to do it. You do your work just to glorify yourself and bring all attention to yourself. I understand that. And certainly that's where you ought to be until you come to a conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you want to follow him. The minute you do that, now it goes different. It can never be in the world again. If it's in the world, something is wrong. Because I am a Christian. I've got that choice. I can do ministry for my name, or I can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do ministry to bring attention to me and to think, oh, how can I do this to make it all about me? Or what I do, does it say something about God himself? Does the effort, the attention, the love, the faith, the hope say that? God says to us, or Paul says to us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I have been created to do good works. Those works point to God himself. I am God's workmanship. So really what God is doing, God is working in our work and bringing attention to himself, bringing honor and glory. When you go to the job, those 8, 10, maybe 12 hours a day, commuting is included in all of that. God is working in your work. And what is it that we are allowing him to do? Are we doing it all in the name of Jesus Christ? Or have we somehow ended up compartmentalizing our lives? I've got my work life, I've got my church life, I've got my family life. No, Paul says, whatever you do, any aspect, do it all in his name. I want to talk about God working in our work. I want you to talk briefly about two ways that he works in our work. I'm sure there are many more, but just for our understanding. Before we do that, let me just kind of clear things and give a biblical understanding of work. Work is good. Now, maybe your job isn't that good, you know, but the idea of work is good. Did you know that work is not a result of the fall? It's not a result of a fallen world. Work is part of perfection. Genesis 2:15, God placed Adam in the garden to work it and care for it. Adam was working. Eve was working. And it was perfect. And it was great. And it was good. And then sin came into the world. Sometimes we look at the idea, oh, I have to work. No, no. That's part of your creative intent. That's part of God's will for you. You and I, we were created to work. It's a good thing. But the issue remains, what is God's work at our work? Are we allowing him to do that? If we are a Christian, there is a way to answer. Number one, how does God work in our work? He uses our work as an arena of maturity. That is what he is trying to accomplish. I want us to go over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. says in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Did you know that your job is an arena for maturity? Because you will face testing in many ways, won't you? Things happen, right? Yeah, the pressure comes, situations develop, and instead of, this is bad, we've got to learn to see, God is trying to work in my work. He's trying to do something with me. He's given me an opportunity to mature. Maybe the things that are happening there aren't good, but what's happening within us? A Christian will look at that and say, you know what? I need this for my maturing. I need this for my perseverance. You see, we look at it entirely differently. Your job is a place that God is trying to mature you. Look at over at Ephesians 4. I want us to read a little bit of this. Before I was a Christian, I would look at my job as all about me just getting money so I can get the things I want to get, whether it be, you know, just food and clothing or other things, just fun things. My job is about me. My job said something about me. And, you know, I would use it to bring attention to me, all of this. When I became a Christian, I had a different view of what job was all about in my work. Chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. I want to stop there. I'm going to keep reading. But right there, before I was a Christian, my understanding was darker. I couldn't see that. Now, I used to think, well, you know, it's easy. Sure, you can see it. Now I come to realize people can't see. It's like talking to someone with brain damage. They cannot absorb and understand the things. Why? There is a faculty that is damaged. When the soul is damaged and darkened, we don't see things the way they ought to be seen. We can claim, hey, I see it as it is. You don't see it. Someone with brain damage, they claim, I see and understand this. They don't. And so Paul is saying, you know, when you used to live like the Gentiles, you were darkened. Thanks be to God, we've been enlightened. But if we're still darkened in our understanding, something's wrong there. Something's wrong. We ought not to live that way. Something happened. What happened? And so he goes on, says there's supposed to be a difference. He says in verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things God's wrath come on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Lengthy reading there, but we get the idea. God's work and my work starts with the understanding that I am a Christian. I'm supposed to be in a different kingdom. I'm supposed not to have the characteristics that I used to have before I was in the kingdom. Being a Christian is not looking down on anybody else, but it is a different life. It's a different value. It's a different priority. It's not just how to religious up your worldliness. That is not what it is. And so on the job, God has given me an opportunity to take a stand, to have convictions, and to let the pressures of the work transform me, teach me perseverance, and become mature. There are a few things that all of us face on the job. You may say, well, Sharon, you don't face this. You're a minister. Oh, yeah, listen to all these things, all right? I'm right there. Number one, laziness. God's trying to work in my work. So in my ministry, in your work, do you need someone to watch you to do the things that you've been hired to do? If you need someone to watch you, please take a step back and decide, do I really want to be a Christian? Because you see, a Christian's not lazy. If someone's watching me, they'll see me work hard. If someone's not watching me, I'm going to work hard. You know why? God's always watching. And it's all about doing it for him, not about doing it for somebody else. Secondly, cheating. You know, I've done a fair share of construction work. There used to be a little saying on the site, can't see it from my house. And they would say that when, you know, things didn't kind of work, pour a little concrete over it and just walk, I can't see it from my house. And that would be a joke. I got in trouble because a lot of times I'd question these guys, you know, doing things like that, and they'd get upset. But bottom line, you see disasters happen throughout the world. Bridges fall. Buildings come in. You know why? People cheated. They cheated. Let me just do this. If your boss tells you to do something, then do it that way. Don't do it another way. And don't be partners with them in doing it. John Perez found himself in a situation where there was some stuff going on at a certain job he had, and it was just wrong. And he said, I can't be a part of this. I can't do this. And boy, people got angry, they got mad, but it was unethical, and it was wrong. And in one sense, it wasn't like stealing money, but it was cheating. It was wrong. There was a time in my life that would have made a difference to me. You just pay me money, I'll look the other way. When I became a Christian, that's no longer a consideration. Fire me, say anything you want, make fun of me, lose all respect of me, I don't care. That's not up for negotiation. I do not cheat. And that's not because I'm any good. I can cheat just like anybody else. It's only because of God. On your job, God's work and your work, are you cheating? Thirdly, greed. Greed. Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. What are you working for? How much are you working? What does it take away from? Church, family, marriage, what? Now things may happen and something comes up, you got to do this. But let me just ask you, is there greed there? Greed is idolatry. And here's the thing, it's kind of hard to tell greed, right? I mean, you know, if it was something like adultery, you see a guy, hey, I'm taking this woman out, well, that's not your wife, all right, that's an obvious thing. You stop that, how do you deal with greed? Well, greed is when you have stuff, not necessarily. Good people have stuff, and they're generous with it. So how do you, it's a hard thing. Only God knows. But what you can say is talk about it with one another. How's it going in your battle of greed, especially here in America? We get drunk on greed, on stuff. We got it all the time. You know what? Your job's going to give you the temptation to be greedy. It's going to do that. They will hold money out there to sell your soul. That becomes your arena of maturity. Do you really believe in what Jesus said? Fourthly, gossip. Somehow the job site becomes an incredible place for people to gossip about other people. You know what I did? Whenever people would do that, I'd say, you know what? That doesn't concern me. Sounds like that's something between you and them. So I'd rather not hear it. That doesn't concern me. If I have a problem with someone, I'll go ahead and deal with it. And when they would get, well, come on, Sherry, why don't you do that? Here's what I'd say. I'd say, you know what? If someone starts talking to me about you, you know what I'm going to tell them? That doesn't concern me. You need to go talk to them. I'm going to get your back. I'm going to have your back. I want you to always know that. And you know what? People trusted me because they knew I would listen to their gossip about other people. So they knew one thing. Hey, if someone's saying something about me, they're not going to find the listening ear of Sherry. You know what? There's that temptation to want to be part of things. We don't want to be thought of weird. So when people are cutting each other down, I don't want to seem weird. I just better stay there and be part of it. No, 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 no. That's your arena. That's where you're going to persevere. That's where you're going to realize that all men are created in the image of God. That's when you're going to be someone who's trustworthy. That's when you're going to be courageous. That's when you're going to care. That's the arena. There are a lot of other things we could go. Deceit. How about that? You know, some jobs just got a lot. That's the wrong job. You've got to resign. If you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, hey, you got to do whatever you got to do. That's your choice. I'm a Christian. Guess what? No lie. No lie. Well, you know, it's important. It doesn't really. No lie. Well, I'm going to lose my job. Lose your job. If you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, again. That's up to you. But don't say, I'm a Christian and I lie. You can't do that. God's word in your word is trying to accomplish something. And he's teaching you conviction, honesty, transparency. It's character stuff. And you get it 8 to 10 hours a day. Don't miss the opportunity. That's what he wants to do. Work is a great portion of our lives. Let God work at your work. And change your character. And then the other thing, not only is it the arena for our maturing of our character and maturing of our faith, it is our harvest field. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Paul is preaching there in the city of Athens. And in the middle of this sermon, you know, he's trying to appeal to the Athenians here. You know what? I'm sorry. I always try and push this timer on. I forgot to put that timer on. So we're still going to finish on time. So don't worry. Oh, I know. You got a big loud amen. All right. I may just decide to keep you guys here through breakfast tomorrow. How's that? Huh? Oh, yeah, right. Here we go. Acts 17. And we'll start there in verse 24. Paul preaching there in Athens. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives life to all men and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Every person at your job has been determined to live at this time. It's the best time for them to become God's creative intent, to be redeemed. They were born in a corrupted world. They were born in a world that is fallen. But God's plan to have a world of created people created in his image, that's never ceased. That's why he's trying to redeem people. So the people that are being born now, now is the best time for that soul, that individual, that person to come to know him. So on the job, the people that you are around, it's their best opportunity, best time. Now, that doesn't mean they'll accept it. That doesn't mean, oh, yeah, thanks. I really, you know, appreciate it. They may not. But I know this, it's their best time. They are here now because God has determined it. It's your harvest field. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you just got to go up there, hey, do you want to know Jesus? No, I had a guy do that to me at a church once. A friend of mine invited me to go to church with them, and it was a very, you know, loose type of place. This guy comes up to me and asks me, have you met Jesus? And it freaked me out, man. I mean, I just was like, what in the world? Get back. You know, it's just weird. It's weird. That's not what we're talking about in the harvest field. What we are talking about is engaging, is spending time, and starting your day off praying, God, help me to help somebody know you. It's their opportunity. That's the way a Christian looks at life. You cannot enjoy salvation and not care that other people get it. You cannot believe that God created the earth, that God has redeemed the earth, and not want to be part of that. It's an impossibility. Something's wrong if you're not thinking that way. Jesus, when he was looking out in Matthew 9, he said, the fields are ripe for harvest, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Harvest field. What did Jesus want? Workers! People who on their job would always be looking, would be praying. People that would care to get to know people. And as those people would invite them to different parties, hey, let's go out drinking or something like that. Let's go get high or something. No thanks. Thank you for including me in that. I appreciate it. How about a counter offer here? How about you come serve us? Or you come to this Bible study. Or I'd like to get a Bible study at job during the lunch hour. Do not evangelize on your employer's dime, okay? Your employer is not paying you to be a missionary, okay? But what you do is you work hard, you get to know people, so that when it's off the time, you have something to talk about. Hey, Joe, let's go down, grab dinner together, and then you talk to Joe about what's going on in his life. You share your life, and what starts happening? There's a worker in the harvest field. And that's been given to you and to me. God is so good to us. So good to us. Brothers and sisters, we all have different gifts and abilities. We all are in different situations. No one knows what to say all of the time, and that's okay. That's not part of the deal. You're not supposed to know what to say. But we all have a heart. We all have a life. We all have an experience. We all have a story. And that's where we make our connection. The other day, Deb saw this girl that Deb had taken a yoga class with at another facility, and she was at the gym in a spin class. So Deb goes, hi, how are you? And they're talking, and really great young woman. And so Deb was saying, so you're in school, right? She goes, yes, I'm at CSI. So Deb goes, wow, well, we have some people at CSI. And she said she was in environmental science. And we're thinking, okay, what's close to that? Geology. Michael's in geology. And Deb goes, we have a student, Michael, that's in geology. And, she started talking, and all of a sudden, the girl started to look and go, does he have another name? And Deb goes, oh, yeah, Chimwa. She goes, yeah, we were in a lab together. She goes, I know him. He was telling me about the Bible study they have on campus and about church. He was talking to me about that all the time. And, and so this is really cool. And she was just engaged in this conversation here. And, we walk up there and I said, that's kind of what it's all about. Right? God was working through Michael's work, which was being a student at that time. Here's someone Deb met. She wanted to invite her out. That's what it's about right there. Every time we go out, guys, every time we're at our jobs, something is going to happen to give us an opportunity. So that after work, on the lunch hour, whatever, we'll be able to make a connection. Be able to eventually share with them the good news that they really need. The only thing that's really going to matter. I just want to conclude by saying this. God is working through your work. What type of statement is being made about you? What type of statement is your work being made about God? Cool thing is, we can decide today, Lord, I want to seize the opportunity for character transformation. I want to be in that arena. And you know what? Use me. Father, lead me to somebody that's open. This is their time so that I can have an impact. I'm going to work hard at my job, but when the clock is off and I've done my work well, I'm going to see who's available. And I want to be able to have that. Singers, let's go ahead and come forward. We will close out the service right after.